Sarah and Tim, we're on the air.
Hello, hello, hello. Anybody there?
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. Oh. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, I'm here. It doesn't seem to be going quite as smoothly as usual. The Zcast app usually is really good at getting us all going, but this morning we seem to be having trouble contacting the Jerry.
Well, Australia is here. Ah, and there's Jerry.
I'm here.
Hi, Jerry.
Well, yes, we are having a real cold snap here, and it's affected a little of our infrastructure. So, but I'm here. We're ready to roll now. Let's go.
Excellent. Well, our topic for tonight is the patent system, particularly as it applies to Apple and other tech companies. And from a purely layman's point of view, none of us are lawyers, and especially not patent lawyers. So how does the patent system work, and why is this not right? Why is it not working? What should it do to work? So, Tim, your thoughts.
Well, the patent system was a great idea, and back in the about 1870s or so, you would, if you had an idea for a better mousetrap, you would do your drawings and send it off to the patent office and file it, and patent officers would look at it and say, well, we've got 50 different kinds of mousetrap here, but this one looks to be different, so we'll let him have his patent or her patent, and it'll be patent number 552, and in exchange for a few bob, you then have a patent, and, sorry, I said a few bob, I should say, in exchange for a small sum of money, you have a patent, and for a few years, you have the right to try and exploit this technology. And it was an idea that meant that it seemed like a good idea to me. The idea is that if Joe Bloggs has develops this better mousetrap, and it's seen by some much larger company, they can't just say, "Oh, we'll take that idea and make them ourselves." So there's a bit of protection for the inventor.
How long was that period when they first started? Do you know, Tim?
No, I don't. I haven't done lots of research on it, but for quite a while, patents operated, I think, in that fashion. But the problems began to occur when two things happened. One is simply the scale of IP, intellectual property, that was being protected grew enormously, and the government, or the people via their government, became reluctant to invest in enough people in the patent office to keep the system operating as it was originally set up.
Okay, so there's a disconnect, saying, in the process, and getting people processed, getting their patents processed. And they have protection, I take it, for what, 17? Is it 17 years? Am I wrong about that? Did I imagine that? Anyway, it's some number of years.
I think it's actually quite variable from country to country, and different kinds of intellectual property are protected for different periods of time. I think if we stick with our mousetrap example, it's only about 9 years or something, but
oh my gosh,
I don't think it's all that long, but we get to the problem. The problem is that a patent. Sarah and I have had a little bit of experience with patents over the last 20 years. Just one patent, really. And what we discovered is that a patent is only as good as your ability to defend it in court. So the modern system does not mean the somebody else comes along and goes to the patent office, and if they have a design like your mousetrap, the patent office says to them, no, you can't do that. There's prior art, as they say. No, what happens now is the patent office will patent any old thing that gets sent into them, and you, the original patent owner, have to identify that somebody is infringing on your patent, take them to court and win in court, and then you have to fight for recompense. It's very difficult.
Okay. So supposing me as a little independent invent some gizmo that makes iPhones work really well, and I patent this gizmo. If Apple comes along and uses that gizmo without paying me, what can I do then? Anything?
Well, you take them to court. But the problem is that.
But I can't afford to take Apple to court.
Well, quite. They have $220 billion in the bank, and I know for a fact that you have considerably less than that in the bank. So,
oh, hang on, let me just check my bank account. Oh, yes, you're right. It is a bit less than that. Yeah.
Yes. And so
I have 220.
Yeah, we've got the 220, perhaps. Yeah,
it's the
million
that we have problems with. Yeah.
Not only that, but if you design this widget, and another company in a different part of the world says, "Hey, this person in Australia has had a great idea. Let's build that." Well, how do you ever know that? When you go to the patent officer, when you go to the patent lawyer with your patent, they say, "Where do you wish to protect it?" And if you're confident and you've got a bit more money, several thousands of dollars, you say, "Oh, well, I'd like it in Australia, in our case, the USA, a very big market, and the European Union, and say Singapore, Hong Kong, and I don't know, wherever you think it might sell." So, and of course, each territory that you add costs a little more money. But if somebody in one of those far-flung territories sees your design, and a lot of people go trolling through the patent office looking for good ideas, and decides to break your patent and simply make the thing, then you have to defend it. And well, but first you have to discover that they're doing that. It's tricky.
Well, bringing things back to Apple again. We saw only sort of about a year, 18 months ago, what was that Chinese company? I forget the name exactly now. Xiaomi? They produced an almost identical clone to the iPhone 6 at the time.
That's China.
It seemed like Apple could not do anything about this because it was in China.
Correct.
Yeah. Now that's a sobering thing, isn't it? If Apple cannot defend its technology, what hope does anybody else have? But
I think there's a reverse discrimination though with Apple. Is at least my feeling on it is that there's this feeling, and this will get us into the meat of our argument. I think there's a feeling that. Apple's made so much money. They've got, as you say, $220 billion in the bank, you know. And when these things go to court, I feel like they have a reverse handicap. They're being penalized for being so successful, and these courts are being more loose with the interpretation, and they don't rule against Samsung or Xiaomi or whoever else it is that Apple's bringing to court. And Apple just pays these enormous fees to their lawyers and doesn't seem to win much of anything in court in terms of patents. That's my perception.
Well, I think that's a very acute point. And there's two aspects to it. One is the fundamental aspect of what are patents for. And the second aspect is an iPhone is not a single entity. An iPhone is made up of thousands of bits of technology, and these thousands of pieces, almost all of them are individually patented and not all by Apple. And so if you say, and so Apple has to license various bits of technology that it can put them together in the iPhone, and then it has to try and protect the iPhone. But if I can come back to that original question, what are patents for? They are to give the inventor an opportunity to be rewarded for their invention. So either to exploit it in the market themselves, or to license other people to exploit it in the market in exchange for a patent royalty fee. And
yes,
So the thing is, if Apple have made billions of dollars from the iPhone, at what point do we feel that the patent system, you see, is designed to protect the average people in the street, because not just the inventor, but also to allow technology to be exploited. Because one of the things that happens is that powerful people whose interests are hurt by the invention of new technology are capable of suppressing new ideas if it suits them. And patent law provides the opportunity for the inventor to commercialize a patent without it being suppressed by the competitors. But this all gets very complicated and perhaps not so exciting. But it works in reverse, though. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, it can be that it can be an anti-competitive thing too. You know, let's say Apple sews up all these patents, and then so no one else can compete with them, and they can charge extremely high prices, or poor service, or whatever. I'm not saying they do, but you know, that could happen too. So it works in both directions. You know, Ford famously bought up some patents that could have really reduced our carbon emissions because they want to keep using fossil fuel engines, et cetera. And
yes,
Ty, you were just discussing.
Yeah, this is why I think this discussion is so interesting. It's because I'm an Apple fan, and I think that the iPhone is a brilliant invention, and that they really deserve to be able to exploit their technology, and so to their benefit, and also to the benefit of the rest of the population. But at some point, the interesting conflict is that at some point, as you just said, that this becomes anti-competitive, because if they're the only ones making iPhones, other people who have ideas about how this might be done can find it extremely difficult to break into the market. But before I go too far down that road, the dominant operating system for smartphones is not iOS, it's Google's Android system. And although Apple is the best known manufacturer, they are not the largest manufacturer of smartphones in the world. That is a collection of people who make Android things. And so Apple could quite rightly stand up in court and say, well, you want competition? Well, there's heaps of competition. We're struggling to compete with all these other companies who seem to have lots of ideas. So Apple can contend that the market is entirely fair.
Okay, well, you brought up Google's Android, and at that point, I think you're straying into perhaps copyright issues rather than patents. And I'm not quite sure of where one ends and one begins. But we know that Android blatantly used Sun's Java system in the Android system. And they've published memos saying they decided not to pay the licensing fees because they were too much and they were just going to steal it. Now, how does that the system doesn't seem to be protecting whoever, was it Sun or Oracle who owned Java at that stage? I forget. But it doesn't seem to be doing anything to protect them. Oracle, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Their memos, the memos you talk about were absolutely fascinating because it shines a spotlight right on the business that I'm talking about. What they said was, we're not going to license it. If they want to sue us, they can sue us. We'll go to court and then we'll just pay, we'll pay if necessary, but we believe that it'll be much less than trying to organize something beforehand. So this is really clearly playing the whole patent system. By the way, like yourself, I find that when I'm not sure about what's patent and what copyright and so forth, I slide sideways and begin referring to intellectual property in a nebulous fashion.
Oh, very clever.
Well,
I like that.
I do too. I'm going to use that. The interesting bit here is that there's a cost benefit analysis here that takes place.
Your audio, Jerry, has gone really bad.
Oh, okay. Okay. You guys
really
are going to read
up?
My mind and say what I was going to. Okay. Go ahead. Read my mind.
No, it's good now. It's good now. You've suddenly come good. So keep talking.
Yes. It's a strange situation where there's a cost benefit analysis where it's cheaper to go to court than to pay all these licensing fees. And also, isn't there, tell me, Tim, I think there's some protection about pricing for licensing a patented item. It has to be a fair price or something. There's an acronym. I think it spells FRIEND or something.
Yes, there is. But gosh, I used to know that, but I don't now. But you're quite right. You can't just charge whatever you like. It has to be commercially plausible, and it also depends on the prominence that it pays. So once again, these things go straight to court. Where they thrash it out. But if you've got some small component in an iPhone, then it's quite unlikely that you'll be able to get more than 1% of the whatever it is the selling price of an iPhone. That would be remarkable, I think. So you're generally talking very small percentages. But Apple might have to have 200 or 300 of these things to put together an iPhone. I have no idea how many they have, but there could easily be a great number of them. And and of course, any of the technologies that have been incorporated into an iPhone, the companies that have those would consider this to be an enormous boon for them.
Okay.
Good job.
Playing devil's advocate, are you suggesting that Apple should not get the benefit of the patent system because they're already so rich?
Oh, I feel that they definitely, I feel very strongly that they should have had the benefit of the patent system for a period of time during which they made a certain amount of money. But the reason that I enjoy this discussion is that the answer is not clear to me. I am now certain in my own mind, this doesn't have a legal basis, that once you have $220 billion in the bank, you have probably been fairly rewarded for your innovation in the original iPhone. But Apple would laugh in my face and say, yes, but the iPhone 7 came out a few months ago and it contains all sorts of new ideas. Are we not allowed to make any money on that? So the complexity of this is mind-bending.
Agreed. It's a nightmare in a minefield. But then, I mean, I'm a software developer, and when I put out an app or whatever, I don't go to the patent office with it. I just stick my little copyright notice in it and have the vague hope that this provides me with some sort of protection. I am not in a financial position to legally go after anybody who pirates any of my software, and I'm not really interested in going after people who pirate my software. But so is there any point in me sticking this copyright notice on my apps, or is this just, it's just a waste of space?
I think Jerry, there is a sense in it. The thing is that you do have to protect it. If you don't protect it, talking of copyrights, because I've had a little experience with this too, if you don't protect your copyright, then in essence, it invalidates it to an extent. So you not only have to say, I'm copywriting this, but you also have to then go after people who are violating it. So it's you do have to have some coffers, some legal fund, a war chest, whatever you want to call it, to defend this stuff when you get it. But it seems like if you're a small player, if you're an indie developer or an indie inventor, that this thing is somewhat stacked against you. Yeah, the patent system is a bit because of all the things that Tim has said. But I think, there's some other tools that people have, and you have to be clever. Domain names, for instance. One way to get back at these people who want to steal your stuff is you can fence your intellectual property in with domain names, which are much cheaper than buying patents. And so what people often do is they come up with a great idea, come up with some good domain names that kind of fence it in a bit and give them recognition and market clout, and then people trying to copy it have a difficult time because they don't have the same good domain name, and they have to buy domain names from you, and then you make some of your money back that you've gotten licensing fees. That kind of works loosely, but I mean, that's the kind of strategy I think you have to use if you're small.
Yeah, well, that's kind of working around the system. The system is not working for you. Now, part of the problem that I understand with the patents is that the patent officers no longer bother to do any checking on the patents. So if I walk into the patent office and I say, I want to patent this great new invention I have, it's called the iPhone, they're going to say, sure, here's your patent, give me your money. And that's it. They don't care that the iPhone has been patented for the last 10 years by Apple. They're going to give me that patent and wait till Apple's lawyers come and bury me. So what's the point of the patent office? All they're doing is taking my money and not really doing anything.
Well, it does serve a purpose for large corporations. It simply serves much less of a purpose for small operators who cannot afford the legal costs. We invented a device in our company back in about 1986, and one of our directors who essentially thought this thing up in the company decided, I think, and I think he was correct, that we should not patent it. We should simply keep it secret and exploit it ourselves. And that's what we did for 20 years And we've never seen another one. And the results that we get out of that machine, nobody else can get. But the instant that we feel strongly that if we drew it out and put it in the patent office, that machine would simply be replicated in the laboratories around the world without any recompense whatsoever. So we simply use it ourselves and keep it secret behind locked doors. We've stopped using it now, but it was interesting that secrecy is the alternative. As for the copyright, Sarah, as Jerry said, one reason for copyright is self-defense. If you write a great new piece of software and put your copyright in it, it stakes a claim so that if some other, if Apple looks at it and says, that's great, we're going to use it. If you didn't have copyright notices on it, then Apple, a zealous Apple lawyer could say, ha-ha, look at that, she forgot, and knock on your door and say, well, you have no protection over this, and we've got it now, and ours does have protection, so could you please stop making that thing you're making, because we're making it now.
Okay, that's an interesting viewpoint, yeah. Because, of course, we know that Apple and all the companies, in fact, do what is famously known as Sherlocking, where they'll take what used to be a third-party utility and add it into the operating system. And really all that does is make the third-party utility completely pointless, and it just ceases to exist. But it would be rather more severe if the developer of that third-party utility could then be legally pursued by Apple after Apple had taken away his business.
Yes, well, it would be. I'd like to add one more wrinkle to this, which is a real life story too. Long time ago, my wife and I, Mary Jane, came up with a name for a magazine. It was Mac Week, and we started publishing it, electronically. And what happened was,
we've lost you, Jerry.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes. Let's try it again. We missed the bit after Mac Week.
Yes. So we published it electronically. So then, what happened next was that a large group of large publisher decided it was a great name, and they were just going to use it because we were small fish, and they were convinced we could not do it. And of course, they were right. We didn't have the resources to do that. But this became somewhat. And so another publisher flew into the Midwest where we were living and said, we heard about what's happening. We would like to buy the name from you, and we'd like your help in creating the magazine, and we will defend the name, and they will not even come after us. Yeah. What do you say?
Oh,
and it worked.
My.
Gosh, I remember.
So we got yes, and that's how we moved the money from that. And so, yeah, there are ways to work around. You have to be willing to make alliances.
No, we lost you again, Jerry.
Do we think that Jerry is dropping out due to technical reasons, or do we think he's dropping out because his microphone is vibrating or something?
I think technical reasons. He said they had very bad weather, and as we know, that can affect your internet.
Right. Okay.
But we've nearly reached the end of our conclusion, and I have to say that even with Jerry's story, where they managed to defend that Mac Week name, it's only with the resources of a big company that can afford the legal fees. So basically, the patent system only works if you're rich. That would be my conclusion.
I think that's true, but and on a slightly less cheerful note, I think that actually applies to a great deal of the legal system in the Western world. I think that if you're going to appear in court, it's an enormous advantage to be well-funded.
Yeah, well, in this country, that means either be really rich or be really poor, in which case you get, you know, legal aid. But if you're middle of the road, you're in deep trouble.
True.
Yes.
So it's the same here.
Right.
Yeah, it's
can
same,
anybody
same
manage
here.
To find a way to end? Can you, Jerry? Can you find a way to end this on a more optimistic note?
I think, yeah. I think, as I said before in some of my other comments, cleverness is the answer to this stuff. You have to be willing to work with others and be creative and find ways to work around these things. You have to be nimble. You have to be clever. If you're not rich.
Yep,
and
I'm
that's
sure
not a
that's
bad
true.
Thing. That's not a bad thing. And also, I think that at some point, the sheer numbers of this thing start to work against the large interests. And I think good advocates, too. Good advocacy is important. Get a megaphone and start shouting about this.
Yep, that's true.
Twitter, Medium, you know, there's more places where you can actually say stuff. And we'll see how this pans out because, you know, Xiaomi is coming to the U.S. And they make some beautiful phones and other devices. And they do a good job. They don't just throw out cheap copies. They do really good work. But, you know, they're going to have to change their designs.
Yep. Okay.
And also, then we will see how much is the whole widget, you know, the operating system and the hardware and the cloud system working together, and how much is just the hardware.
True. Although in all those areas, they have made huge advances. They have an excellent UI. Their version of Android is much better than Android.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Well, so if you're fighting the patent system and you're not rich, be smart, find people to work with you, and just keep your faith. That's about as good as we can come up with, huh?
Yeah, carry on. Yeah, what is it that they used to say? Well, of course, Winston Churchill, KBO.
KBO.
Keep keep buggering on.
Yes, we're not allowed to say that thing.
Oh, no, we're not allowed to. I have to give myself an E on that.
Yes.
I'm afraid so, yeah. E for effort.
Wasn't me this time. E for effort. Well
okay,
done.
It'll be my turn next time to say something inappropriate. Okay, well, thanks, guys. That was an interesting topic and slightly different to our usual range of things, but still very relevant to our Apple-centric view of the world. So that's it for this week. We'll come up with something interesting to talk about next week. So goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
Adios.
See you, Jerry.
Bye.